We read this morning in the scriptures from Paul's letter to the Colossians. This is chapter 1. We begin in 11, we read through 20. In preparing this week, I realized I've not talked out of the book of Colossians to you before. The people of Colossae were an interesting bunch, and Paul did mighty work in them. And they really had a heart for him after they learned more of him. So we share today these words. May you be made strong with all the strength which comes from his glorious power, so that you may be able to endure everything with patience, and with joy give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to have your share of what God has reserved for his people in the kingdom of light. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. For through him God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, and authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. He is the head of his body, the church. He is the source of the body's life. He is the firstborn Son who was raised from the dead in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. For it was by God's own decision that the Son was in himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for these moments that I have to share this morning. May you guide them. May you empower them, and the things that are important, help these people remember them. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes to the Colossians, and he's in prison. He's in Rome. It's kind of like house arrest, I guess, is the way I would describe it. He is able to receive visitors. He has a Roman guard that's with him all the time. And Paul is very comfortable even though he's in prison. And why? Because he understands that in Christ he has everything that he needs. He has all that he's supposed to have in this anointing that's been placed upon him, this job that he has to go and to take the glory of the gospel of Jesus to the people called the Gentiles. That's you and me. And Paul is comfortable in that even though he's in prison, because in his day-to-day meetings and getting together with people, he gets to share. And he gets to tell the story. And that's the way it has been down through the ages. Oh, church is wonderful. It's necessary. It's important. But also important is the day-to-day conversations that you and I have with people. And when we walk around with Jesus inside of us, we don't have to preach a sermon. We just are who we are in Jesus, and it just comes out in the conversations. And so it was with Paul. Now, the guards would work in four-hour shifts. So there'd be a new guard every 4 hours, and I'm sure it was a group of men that were rotated through. And I've always kind of wondered if any of them ever accepted Jesus for who he was. Because surely Paul was able to tell people that if you accept Jesus as Savior, your sins can be forgiven. These were tough Roman soldiers. But when you hear the word is powerful. And so I wonder if any of them ever accepted what Jesus had to say through Paul. I know one thing for sure, because it's just human nature. We always talk about our jobs, don't we? We always talk about what's going on in our lives and the people we meet and what they say. We always talk about our families when with other people. And so I'm very confident that these soldiers would share in town, share with their other soldiers what Paul had to say. They could explain Paul's complete devotion to Jesus, and that in Jesus, Paul knew he had everything. Nothing was missing. Nothing was incomplete. I wonder if you've gone shopping lately for a present for a child. Perhaps it's someone's birthday, and of course we go to the toys part of the store, don't we? I still enjoy doing that. I get scolded by the pretty girl I live with every once in a while because she can't find me and she can look for me in the toys section, because it's just interesting. We had two daughters, so I went through all of that stuff, and now through things like Operation Christmas Child, I've been able to get presents for boys, and let's just face it, as a guy, where could you be happier than a toy store? And so I go there and I look to see what's available, and if you find something that's really interesting and you pick up the box, one of the things you have to look for is whether or not it has the batteries. Because if you see that little sticker, batteries not included, then you know you don't have the complete thing yet. You also have to look for the little note, it's in very fine print, usually in the corner, that says, some assembly required. I understand all of that, because when I was in high school, I had the blessing of working at Nelson's Shoe Repair and Hobby Shop. And so we sold model kits for everything. And one of the instructions we gave to everyone, no matter if we had seen them once or 1,000 times, as they took their model kit home, we said, now, when you open it up, read the instructions, and then look and see if all the parts are there. And because if you're missing one of these trees of parts, you're not going to be able to complete the model. It's the same way with a puzzle. Have you ever gotten down to the last of the puzzle and then you realize that time you tipped it off the coffee table, three of those pieces went flying somewhere. And so the puzzle can never be completed. All of these kinds of things are incomplete. They're not quite ready. They lack something that keeps us from doing what that item is supposed to do. Or perhaps it only allows us to go so far, and then we get stopped because something is missing. I have what I have developed over the years, and I call it the rule of three, in my own personal working on projects at the house. That means you are going to the hardware store 3 times in any project. The first time is after you have figured out the project and you've researched it and you know all the parts and pieces and you've made your list and you go to the hardware store and you pick up everything you need and you go home and you start on the project, then you realize the stuff that you didn't know you needed to have. And so the second trip to the hardware store is to go ahead and pick up those other things so you can complete the job. And then I come home and I get started on it again. And then it's when I realize something doesn't fit or I measured something wrong. And so now is the third trip to go pick up stuff so that I can finish what I'm done. So in my case, it's always three. The rule of three to get it complete. All of this is frustrating. Pieces missing. Things you didn't think of. All of it is frustrating at the least. And maybe it's frustrating enough that at some point during your day, you just want to push that whole shebang into the trash can and go have a lemonade and some cookies. It's not fun when things aren't complete. And this world is an enigma. We know so much about it, and yet we know so little about it. Oh, sure, we have discovered and learned much over the centuries. But the truth be known, there's much more to learn, because as you have discovered, and so have I, every time you learn something, one of the things you learn is there's more to learn. There's another example of something that's missing when we look at the whole issue of evolution and creation. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes this morning, but I want to share with you what I understand and what I believe. And if that ruffles your feathers, then let's talk about it later. You're okay. There's a whole body of folks that are convinced that you and I have just evolved. As a matter of fact, we teach it in our school systems. They say it started with a big bang, and that set into motion the coming together of all the elements over time in the right combination and by random chance in something called the primordial ooze, life evolved. And given enough opportunity and the permutations that are possible, the outcome of that, which coincidentally happened under the right conditions, then humans evolved. And there we are today, you and I, with all our wisdom to figure out how all of this worked. But I really believe that there's something missing. It's not complete in the business of evolution. You see, if you're a biologist and you believe in evolution, when you look at things in your microscope, you have to train yourself to not look at the fact that it might be designed. In order to believe that this is all evolution, you have to forcefully remind yourself not to be fooled by any evidence of creation that you might see. In order to believe in evolution, you have to leave some parts out. You have to leave the completeness out. What you're missing, you see, is the evidence of God's hand at work in this world. C.S. Lewis wrote this: "In the whole history of the universe, the laws of nature have never produced a single event. They are the pattern to which every event must conform, provided only that it can be induced to happen." And he goes on and he says, "A billiard ball hitting another billiard ball follows the laws of physics, but those laws did not set the ball in motion. Someone with a cue did. The laws are the pattern to which events conform. The source of the events must be sought elsewhere." And my friends, the source of all of the events, the source of what got going, we read about it in the scriptures for today. It's a man named Jesus. He was there before creation began. He was a part of it. For those who believe in Jesus, you see, nothing is missing. Nothing is incomplete. And as we walk with Christ, we have this wonderful discovery. We learn more and more about Him. There are some people in our day that wonder if Jesus is still relevant. This same Jesus that walked those dusty roads in Palestine years ago, does he have relevance today? And oh, I assure you, he does. There was once a young girl in a Sunday school class, and she asked her teacher, she said, if Jesus came back today, would he be able to know about computers? Her question really revealed a concern that she had that Jesus might be overwhelmed by all of the technology in our day, in our modern age. And she wanted assurance that this Jesus that she was learning about was capable of understanding our modern age and wouldn't get lost in it. That not only was he Lord over all of the things in the past, but he's Lord over everything of today and will be Lord over everything tomorrow. And the truth that for that young lady and for you and for me is that Jesus Christ is everything. Nothing in our modern age is beyond him. There's a popular song we sing sometimes. He has the whole world in his hands. But do we really believe it, or do we think that we need to hang on to parts of it ourselves and control it ourselves? You see, when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, then we have to allow him to have all our lives. All of it. The temptation is to let him have the big things in our lives. The forgiveness of sin. The assurance of salvation. The assurance of eternal life. But then we know he's too busy, and so we'll take care of some things ourselves. We hang on to them. We want to take care of the small things in our lives. Our home, our car, our job, our relationships. And we certainly want to take care of our worries, our concerns for today and for tomorrow. But the lesson in the message this morning is that in Jesus Christ, there's everything. He really does want to know your worries. He wants to know what you need to do with your health. He wants to know about your relationships. He wants to care for your physical needs. He wants you to give everything in your life over into his hands, trusting him for the day-to-day of your life. You see, it's very true. I've discovered it the hard way. I'm trying to save you some pain here. You cannot have Christ in your heart if you're not willing to give your whole life to him. Oh, you get to stay who you are. And about now you're saying to yourself, but Pastor Don, I'm pretty sure that I could never let go and trust Jesus completely with everything in my life. And that's okay. That's okay. But I've got a place for you to think about starting. I remind you of Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Just give Jesus a try. Just give Jesus a try. You have nothing to lose except being able to let go of a whole lot of worries, a whole lot of anxiety that you've been carrying around and holding yourself. And we learn in the words from the scripture today that Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is so amazing, as a matter of fact. He is the first of many who has a resurrected body. Now, you can read in scripture of others who were raised from the dead. That's true. But they still had their same body that they had before. And one day, they died a bodily death. But not Jesus. When Jesus was resurrected, he had a body. Christ, you see, is alive today in that resurrected body, and that's the promise for you and I, that someday when he returns, that we will have a resurrected body too. But at the moment, he's the only one. And I remind you why we have an empty cross in the sanctuary, because he is not here. He's in heaven. And he knew we couldn't get along without him. And so at the birth of the church that you and I call Pentecost, it was when the Holy Spirit was given so that we might have the very presence of Christ with us even today in the year 2013, so that Christ can be with us until he returns again. And as the church, we look to Christ for leadership. You remember a few years ago, they were wonderful. Everyone was wearing the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? And when I would see those, I would be reminded personally that that's where I needed to be in whatever situation and whatever was happening. What would Jesus do in that? Jesus, guide me. Jesus, show me the way. It always reminded me, and still does today when I see the initials, of who is really in charge of this world. It's not our government. It's not the evil one, although he has allowed a certain amount of messing around with us. The one who is in charge is Jesus himself. And I'm delighted to tell you, I shared a little bit last week, but I'm delighted to tell you that Faith Community Church has been successful in this part of the world, and in some ways all over the world, in continuing to bring the gospel of Christ into the world, to send it to all places. And the reason that you have been successful as a church is that you folks pray together, and then you listen to what God has to say, and then you do what he has said. What a joy it is to know that God wants all of us individually to be a part of a greater organization called the church. Oh yes, the church here on the corner, but the church. And you are all invited to be a part of that. You know, I'm here to tell you this morning that you are needed, each one of you, with your own particular gifts and graces, are needed if the work of the church is going to go forward. The work of the church, of course, is the telling of the good news. In being a part of the church and the church, we don't lose our individuality, but there's one essential fact that remains, that the church is one body. One body of believers with Jesus Christ as our head. And in him, everything is complete. I remind you of verse 19 of what we read in our scriptures today. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. This is what I love to tell people. You know, Jesus said, you need me, but I'm physically going to stay in heaven, so you get me as the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And I'm God. I'm God's son, but I want to live inside of you. And so this morning, I can tell you that when you have accepted Jesus, he lives in you. God lives in you. There isn't anything that we lack if we will just allow him to have control of our lives. Christ has always been God. He always will be God. And all of God, God's attributes, God's characteristics, God's nature, God's being, are found in the Son. And you and I can have Him. And when we have Christ, when we remember Christ in a human form, that He is God, then we have everything that we need. Nothing is missing. And in Jesus, everything is complete. Let us pray. Lord, would You help us remember who You are? And would You help us to accept that You want to live in us and You want to do things in and through us, so that others may know who You are. In Your name, Jesus, we pray.